It's about to be a sensational summer because the future of Team USA basketball, Anthony Edwards, said so.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
What does that mean, Kobe Bryant?
Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I certainly hope y'all missed us as much as I missed you all. It is a Monday, a Duffy's MVP Monday here on Theoretically Speaking. And it's a beautiful day. We're brightened up here in the studio. C-Cat is actually on the road. He's headed to Vegas for Big 12 Media Day, so he won't be in today. We got Damian on the ones and twos filling in for him. And a breath of fresh air in here. We have introducing to you all for the first time on Theoretically Speaking, but not the first time on ESPN West Palm. We got Emily Smarr in for the day from the Palm Beach Post. You know her pen game. You probably follow her on Twitter, and you know all the wonderful things she does for high school athletics here. Now she's here to fire off some hot takes in the summertime. Emily, what up? Here's what we're going to do, Emily. Stop. First, quick first Radio 101, because you are a print journalist, you are a friend. I need you to move the microphone right over there closer to you, and you're going to want to talk into that thing right there.
You know, I actually did consider asking you about that during the countdown situation. I saw it over there, but then I was like, my voice carries.
Yes, it does.
Maybe it'll make it over there, but now we know.
Well, you know, these things, more unidirectional microphones. But you know what? Hey, that's why we have you here. That's why we're getting into the works of these things. A great way to start it off. That's going to make for a great short later, you pulling the microphone actually into frame. Yes. Also, a person that's just here for content, also for getting buckets, is really a person that is starting to, he's really warming himself up to maybe be one of many people's favorite players in the NBA. But beyond that, he's on my top five list for sure. Just guys I love watching play basketball, and guys who I also love tuning into any press conference, anytime there's a microphone in front of his face. I mean, all these other dudes have podcasts and are on shows. Why don't we get Anthony Edwards his own podcast as well? That will create a great content machine in itself. But he's got the people talking, because in this summertime, when there's not a lot going on, the NFL is in a dead period right now. In college football, everybody's just gearing up to see which team they're going to try and take to a national championship in the EA Sports game that's coming out at the end of this week. And then you got, obviously, WNBA, you got golf, you got tennis. But the Summer Olympics are gearing up in Paris, and Anthony Edwards has people talking because he opened up his mouth to the media, and he said something that, I mean, it has a lot of people concerned. Some people wondering who is the alpha on this Team USA basketball team. But to me, this is more of the same from a guy that is a burgeoning star in the league. Here's Anthony Edwards when asked about who's going to be the primary scoring option, the focal point for Team USA basketball as they try to get their fifth gold medal in a row.
I'm still the number one option. I mean, y'all might look at it differently. I don't look at it differently.
And how does that manifest?
Yeah, I just go out there and be myself, shoot my shots, play defense, and, you know, they got to fit in to play around me. That's how I feel.
Nice. We'll cut that right there. It was a little hard to understand, but if you would, he pretty much said, on a roster that sports LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, you know, the likes of these kind of guys, Jason Tatum, fresh off an NBA Finals championship, 22-year-old Anthony Edwards, who is going to be playing in his first Olympics, is professing he will be the number one option, and those guys will have to follow in his path. Now, Emily, I wanted to get this. This is a democratic show right here, as in we are a democracy, as in we let people vote on these things, because we like to let people have their say in things. That was not a political party representation thing. More so, you guys get to vote on it. So what I want to do is put it out on Twitter. If you check in at ESPN West Palm, we tweeted out the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections poll of the day, and it is, who is the best player on the Team USA basketball roster? This morning, we heard Chris Canty on Unsportsmanlike from 6 to 10 a.m. profess that Anthony Edwards is the best guy that Team USA has to offer. We have your options: Anthony Edwards, LeBron James, Steph Curry, or other, and you can tweet under that to decide who you think it is. And that Twitter poll, the poll of the week, is presented to you by the Palm Beach County Supervisor of Elections. You know, the August primary elections are coming up, and they're coming up on August the 20th. That's right around the corner. Florida is a closed primary state, which means that voters can only vote for candidates within their same party. Eligible voters can vote in one of three ways. You can either do it by mail, by early voting at a location from August 10th through August 18th, or on election day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Visit votepalmbeach.gov to view your status and learn more, and we'll see you at the polls. We'll also see you on Twitter for you to put in your vote. Cast your vote for who is number one on Team USA for this men's basketball team. Is it Anthony Edwards? Is it LeBron James? Steph Curry? KD? Who could it be? Now, Emily, you admittedly aren't the biggest NBA fan, but you're a ball knower. You love sports. You're in the game, right? You're always pinning.
Aware of ball.
So for you, when you look at that roster, you have all of these vets, all of these lead guys, all of these guys who are faces of their own franchises. Who pops out to you? Who do you think from afar is and should be the go-to guy for the Paris Olympics for Steve Kerr?
Oh, boy. I've always been a KD truther growing up my entire life. That's just always kind of been the one player who, in my limited knowledge of the NBA, I've always known that guy's a dog. So I'm probably going to go with KD just for my personal preference. But, you know, I mean, I think that was quite the statement, Mr. Anthony Edwards.
You got to love that. Here's the thing.
I love your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
He's a guy, though, you want him to be that pit bull, right? He's the youngest guy on the roster. He's the most athletic guy that they have going into the Paris Olympics, and you want him to be playing like a dog unchained out there. You want him to be playing like a guy who has a lot to prove, because that's the kind of energy they can use when they're going up against these scrappy squads that's trying to take the big, bad Americans down. This is the young energy I'm sure the vets in the locker room want to see, but it does make me wonder, if you're Steve Kerr, and if you're Eric Spoelstra, who's on the bench with them, you got to come up with a starting five and a closing five that can win you games, that can have chemistry and synergy on the court to play against some of these teams that actually play a lot more reps together when you think about the Serbias and the Croatias and all the other teams in the Olympics. So I'm like, yeah, we're debating on who's going to be the top player, who's going to be the go-to guy, and that poll is live. We'll read you the results later on in the day, as well as continue to give you our Duffy's MVP of the weekend candidates. But I want to dig into what the top five, the starting five, should be for the Team USA men's basketball team this summer in Paris. So I'll go ahead and do that. I'll give you my top five. Yeah, I mean,
enlighten
come on.
Me.
This is what we need. That's what the people ask for. Let's get a little music underneath. Let's get a little music underneath to give it a little bit more vibes. Here is the starting five I have. If I'm Steve Kerr, if I get to take over for Team USA basketball here as they get ready for their scrimmage with Canada in a couple days and get ready for the Summer Olympics, the Summer Games. For me, the first one, when I look at the guards, obviously you want to go two guards, two forwards, and a center. I got to go with a guy like Stephen Curry. One thing people don't think about here in FIBA basketball is that three-point line is a little
nothing
bit shorter.
Nothing but net, baby.
Yeah. and a guy like Steph Curry is going to be pouring them things in, giving people a lot of trouble. So give me Stephen Curry at the first guard spot. And at my other guard spot, I need a guy that can play some two-way ball. I need a guy that can lock down the best perimeter player on the other side and a guy that believes he's the best player on the court. Give me Anthony Edwards at 22 years old, being a lockdown defender on the perimeter and also being a nice secondary or tertiary option on offense to attack the rim, create some rim pressure. So my backcourt, Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards. So far, Emily, what do you grade me on that?
Beautiful.
Come on.
I grade that an A+.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Now we got to move to the forwards. It gets a little bit more interesting for Team USA. But this one should be easy to me. If Kevin Durant and LeBron James say, hey, we're going to play in the Summer Olympics for Team USA, we're going to give up our offseason as we go into ring-chasing mode on the back end of our careers. We only have a couple more years in the league. But Spo, Kerr, we're here for you. You know what you do? You roll them boys out in the starting five.
Yep.
You let both of them go. One thing that people forget is Kevin Durant, he is an electric scorer, especially in the Olympics. When you're 7 foot tall and you can shoot from anywhere in the gym and create your shot at any point, Give me that guy, and LeBron James can be the fulcrum of any offense. He's the smartest dude on the court every time he steps on the court. So I got Curry, Anthony Edwards, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant. And then at the big man slot, this one hurts my heart because I'm a Miami Heat fan.
Does it hurt that bad, though?
It does. It really does. I guess I have control over it, so I could have went the other way.
Hey, we choose what hurts us.
As a Heat fan, though, I had to leave Bam Adebayo on the bench. I obviously am leaving Joel Embiid out as this is his first Olympic game, so he needs to adjust to the rules and figure things out. Plus, there's no foul hunting. There's no foul hunting when you're playing in the Olympics. The FIBA refs don't go for it. Give me Anthony Davis. Rim protector, goaltend a little bit, and a synergy he has with LeBron James.
Yep.
That's my starting five right there. That's it. So I got Curry, Edwards, Durant, LeBron, and Anthony Davis. Steve Kerr, phone me up. I know you're looking for some help out there. Phone me up. That's exactly what you should go with. It's the obvious starting five for Team USA men's national team. Emily, again, you loved my backcourt. Overall, is this similar to what you would have had for a starting five for Team USA?
Overall, it's absolutely similar. The only thing that I would bring into contention is what we had kind of discussed earlier with my whole distraction tactic.
Yes.
Having LeBron on the bench just with like the game seven face. Just staring down opponents the entire time because I'm not going to be focused on getting to the net. I'm going to be like, why is LeBron staring at me?
And also, when is he coming in the game?
Exactly. And at what point do I anticipate him hopping off the bench? At that point, mentally, I'm checked out.
If you're on the other side of the court.
You got options.
Yeah. If you're on the other side of the court and Team USA has a 7-point lead and LeBron hasn't even stepped foot on the court yet.
You're just waiting for him.
Bit of a mental game. I'm not mad at it. Emily Smar from Palm Beach Post giving us a LeBron off the bench thing. I'm not sure if his ego would allow him to sit on the bench to start a game. He won't do it much in the NBA, and I'm sure he wouldn't want to do it in the Summer Olympics. But
I think his ego is already kind of starting to level out a little bit with his new dad adjure responsibility.
Yes.
For Bronny James.
I mean, he's trying to play ball. He's a dad not only to his new teammate, but he's got a son playing
Chris
high
Kardashian
school hopes.
He's the Kardashian of the NBA.
LeBron James?
Yep.
The Kardashian
now,
of the NBA?
Officially.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if that's a good thing. Or they make a lot of money over there. I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing for the future of the Lakers that we have now King James being compared to Kim Kardashian. Emily, you...
Chris.
Oh, Chris Kardashian. Oh, I'm
big
sorry. Yes, yeah, so he's the... Or Chris Jenner.
Momager, dadager.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
He is Chris Jenner.
Yes. You're that's exactly what I'm saying. See, you're messing me up, and I'm not even
formerly
a guy that knows.
Chris Kardashian. Excuse me.
There we go. There we go. LeBron James getting Chris Kardashian / Jenner comps here on Theoretically Speaking. You never know what you're going to get, but that's why you tap in. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube at Theo Speaking, and you're tapped in with us, obviously, on Twitter. We live stream this thing on ESPN West Palm at ESPN West Palm. What we always do on Mondays following a prolific weekend, and by the way, how was your July 4th weekend? I went up to Minneapolis. I had some fun with my wife's side of the family, the in-laws. We cooked out. We kicked it by the pool. We vibed a little bit. Then I came back here and relaxed. How'd you spend your July 4th weekend?
You were a traveling man. You know, I stayed local, hung out with some friends, went to go watch some fireworks, kept it pretty casual, but watched a whole lot of baseball. That's normally how I spend my weekends.
Well, that's a good weekend right there.
Very American.
See, but you're Duffy's MVP candidate, as we do all the time. We give three candidates
WNBA,
of the weekend.
Well.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. It comes from the WNBA. So without further ado, as we crown our Duffy's MVP of the weekend, we'll do it later on in the show. We got to give you our candidates for such. And Emily Smar from the Palm Beach Post, who's joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, you give out the first candidate for the Duffy's MVP of the weekend.
All right. I have got to go with none other than Miss Angel Reese with the Chicago Sky. Recorded her 13th consecutive double-double, which broke the league record originally set by Candace Parker in 2009-2010. She had 17 points, 14 rebounds, and a loss against the Seattle Storm. You could argue that she's not an MVP because they lost. But you
right.
know what? I don't care. If you watch that game, she put that whole team on her back. Whole team. So,
well,
I mean, granted,
effort.
she does have some great
yeah.
some great support in Castle Camilla Cardoso, et cetera. But Angel Reese, none. That's all that needs to be said.
It's easy. I love the giving the shine to Angel Reese because what she's doing is prolific to be able to string together that many double doubles in a row. But she lost a basketball game. We can't get lost in all of that.
You can only win so much whenever the others around you are not winning.
Oh, calling out the rest of the Chicago Sky.
I absolutely am.
Pull up and help out Angel Reese. He's the first.
Somebody help Angel Reese.
The first Duffy's MVP candidate of the weekend going to Angel Reese. 17 points, 14 boards, breaking records and snapping necks with her pregame fits as well. I mean, she could dress. Mm-hmm. She could step out on him. When we come back here on Theoretically Speaking, two teams that share a home stadium and they share postseason success droughts that both extend past two decades. We're talking the Miami Hurricanes football team and the Miami Dolphins. Which one has more pressure on them to actually win a postseason game this year? And we're talking playoffs, not just a bowl game. And then also, before we go, I do got to tell you about the Boca Raton Bowl. Emily, you've been down here in Palm Beach County, what, 3 years now?
I have, long enough to know that it is Boca Raton and not Boca Raton, as I thought before I came down here.
You're trying to get too fancy with it. Boca Raton.
Boca Raton.
It's cool. It's chill.
Yeah, exactly.
It's vibes. And the greatest outdoor party
in Boca Raton.
In the place that we all know as paradise, the greatest outdoor party every single year is the Boca Raton Bowl. We already know what day it's kicking off. It's December 17th at FAU Stadium this year. Two of the biggest teams from the group of five going to battle it out for a shot at the title. For more information, lock in at BocaRatonBowl.com. You can also follow along on Twitter at Boca Bowl and on Facebook at Facebook.com/Boca Bowl for more updates. The 2024 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 17th at FAU Stadium. We'll see you there. On the other side, Emily Smart from the Palm Beach Post and I debate out who has more pressure on them to win a playoff game. The Miami Hurricanes, who are trying to make their first bid into the college football playoff now that it's expanded to 12 teams, or those Miami Dolphins, who have not won a postseason game in 24 years, the longest active streak in professional sports. That's Emily Smart. I'm Theo Dorsey. Damian's on the ones and twos with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
I mean, Super Bowls feel a little out of reach for the Miami Dolphins. Can a brother just get a playoff win? I mean, is that too much to ask? Theo Dorsey here, back with you, Theoretically Speaking. Emily Smar in the house from the Palm Beach Post. And you, what are your NFL affiliations? What's your rooting interest? I know you're from the Carolinas. You went to Clemson, so you're
talk about I'll gladly affiliate myself with the Clemson Tigers.
Of course,
much to the dismay of many people in Florida, I'm sure.
Well, I know that.
I digress. I'm also, unfortunately, a Carolina Panthers fan who I know that you recently established free agency from. So congratulations to you. I'm happy that you're winning. Meanwhile, I have not gotten to enjoy that luxury. I live vicariously through covering the Dolphins.
Yes, yes. And you know what? I appreciate you. A lot of Panthers fans, some of them try to pull me back into the bucket like the crabs that they
are. No, honey. Go be free.
Some are happy for me that I exacted my freedom. And good luck with your owner, Dave Tepper, who's yanking people's hats off, making weird signings, and asking his wife for draft advice, which I don't know is a good or a bad thing. Either way, I think ownership
probably better than trusting his own judgment.
Yes, what to say. Might be better than his own judgment. Yeah. Likely want to leave that to your general manager who you pay for those decisions, though.
I'm pretty sure he fired that one.
Yeah, that's Yeah. He's great at making snap judgments.
Yeah.
For the Miami Dolphins, we're going to get into specifically a team that is looking to break a postseason streak versus another team that shares their home stadium in the Miami Hurricanes, and who has more pressure on them to win a postseason game. But we want to start here. I want to talk to you Miami Marlins here. I want to talk a little baseball because we know win, lose, or draw, it is a party at Lone Depot Park when you pull up and watch those Marlins play. And speaking of wins, I mean, they're coming off back-to-back wins over the White Sox at home. Tomorrow, they're going to go on the road to play my Houston Astros. But when you know you're pulling up to Lone Depot Park to check those Marlins out, I love the Fiesta Fridays. Because, Emily, I don't know about you, but how's a $5 beer sound? Sound good?
Let's go.
$5 beers.
Put me in the car. I'm going down I-95 South.
Easy
money.
Find
me in Lone Depot.
And that's what you get with a Fiesta Friday at Lone Depot Park. You get
Sounds
the fiery
like
305 eats. You get the party at the end, the little Miami-style party. to get locked in on a Friday at the Miami Marlins home stadium, marlins.com/Fridays. You also have Legacy Saturdays where you can pull up, wear your Legacy gear, and also make sure you celebrate the culture around Miami. And what we always know is, again, it's always a party. So you end the night after a great game of baseball with an epic concert on the West Plaza. I've been to one of those things. It really does keep the spirit, keep the function going. It's like a little mini after party.
Ready to continue the night.
Come on. And you roll that thing on
in. The pregame at the postgame.
The pregame, the postgame, all of that. And then hopefully, again, you see the Marlins win. Marlins.com/tickets. That's the website to go to pull up and get your tickets to get to Lone Depot Park and watch the Fish as they look to make a push to maybe getting into the postseason. Marlins.com/tickets. So when it comes to postseason success, it has been a little stingy when it comes for those Miami Dolphins, but they're not the only football team in South Florida that has been struggling with that. And it made me kind of raise the question, because this year for the Miami Dolphins, going into year three for Mike McDaniel, of course, he's already said it publicly. His intention is to snap that 24-year drought, the longest drought in professional sports for the Miami Dolphins, of not winning a playoff game. But for the Miami Hurricanes, the college football team, Mario Cristobal, also a guy that came in with a lot of hype entering year three and also a lot to prove in this season. He has Cam Ward, his transfer quarterback, coming in. He yet again has another top 10 recruiting class pouring into Coral Gables. The roster is there. The ACC is wide open. And the college football playoff just expanded to 12 teams. It's now feasible and, dare I say, expected that the Miami Hurricanes make the college football playoff this year. So which of the two teams, the Miami Dolphins or the Miami Hurricanes, have more pressure on them to not just make the playoffs, but win a playoff game this year? And for my money, I've got to say it's still the Miami Dolphins. Even though that the Hurricanes have felt a vast lack of success when it comes to not just in the regular season under Mario Cristobal, but postseason play in the past couple of decades, the Miami Dolphins have a bit of a crisis ahead of them if they continue to have poor play in the latter ends of these seasons. They're electric. They get the fans going. That offense, Emily, you know it, is captivating. People love watching Tua Tagovailoa throw that thing around the field to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And now you
have OBJ in the mix.
I mean, you want to talk about a show on the turf. Like, these dudes are doing it out there at Hard Rock Stadium now. But if they do it again, another year where they light up the scoreboard and break records but don't have late season and postseason success, I think a lot of people are going to be out on these Dolphins, plus their quarterback Tua, who the Dolphins still have yet to ink to an extension. I think clearly between the Hurricanes and the Dolphins, if both teams make the playoff, if the Dolphins do it again for a third year and lose, it's going to be a much heavier bounce back, a much heavier call for Mike McDaniel to answer than for Mario Cristobal. Though if the Canes make the college football playoff, now he can almost use that as a check on his resume. This is a tick up for the Miami Hurricanes. He can go into recruits' homes and say, hey, we didn't win anything in the college football playoff, but for the first time we made it, and we are a real contender. And as Cam Ward goes off to the NFL and gets drafted as a quarterback, and as some of these guys roll out on the offensive defensive side, you can join this army, and we could bring the U back.
And all it took was conference realignment and an expanded playoff.
That's it.
That's it. That's all it took.
Yeah. You got to credit him also for having good, you know, being a great guy on the recruiting trail and getting and hitting the transfer
portal hard. Oh, those recruiting shoes.
Yeah.
Woo.
Now,
we've seen the blades come down in Palm Beach County itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's always
the chopper.
Yeah. It's chopper season left and right with the bevy of talent we have here in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast, which we cover extensively. So you've already told us you're a Clemson fan. Emily Smar, who's with us from the Palm Beach Post, joining us here on Theoretically Speaking, riding with us
Tigers.
Through six. You're a Clemson Tigers fan, so you obviously have a disposition that doesn't want to see the Hurricanes
a bit.
Succeed.
However, I will say, for legal purposes, I demonstrate neutrality every single time I write.
Of course. Of course. And you can check her work out on the PalmBeachPost.com.
Yeah, you can. Here's my thing, okay? Do the Miami Hurricanes need a playoff win? Yes, they do. But they last won a bowl game in 2016. It's been way longer since we've seen the Dolphins have any of that postseason glory. Mm. So I definitely think it's more imperative, like you, that the Dolphins are the ones who actually get a playoff win this season. And not only that, I think it's that much more important this season because you have so many players, like you said, Tua, who still hasn't renegotiated a contract yet. Mm. So many players in the next few years who are important pieces, like Tyreek Hill, who are going to be expecting money in the future. If you don't have a playoff, if you don't have a playoff win and you don't necessarily have that much money to pay all of these guys because of how much you've already spent, that playoff win is going to be how you sell yourself to these guys because they're going to be wanting to leap or dodge.
Yeah. Yeah. And on top of that, the Miami Dolphins on defense saw a lot of turnover this past season, including moving on from Vic Fangio as defensive coordinator. There's going to be like, there's no other place to turn now but Mike McDaniel if this roster doesn't turn out. And they gave him more offensive help and they used some draft capital on the offensive side of the ball. It'll be interesting. I think it's definitely on the shoulders of he and that crew to get a playoff win and some postseason success. Who do you think has more pressure on them to win a playoff game in 2024, the Miami Hurricanes or the Miami Dolphins? We open up the phone lines here on Theoretically Speaking, the Baptist Health phone lines, 888-760-3776, 888-760-3776. That's the number to the Baptist Health hotline to jump in on Theoretically Speaking. Who has more pressure on them to win a playoff game in 2024, the Dolphins or the Miami Hurricanes? Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic, foot and ankle, joint replacement, and spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. I know that whether it's the Hurricanes or the Dolphins that have the postseason success this year, I know a specific spot on the calendar for both teams where we'll get a great gauge for what is going to be going forward. And I think it's something that's been a little overlooked here. But for both teams, I look at the eighth game on their respective schedule as a place where we're going to figure out, do we need to take these teams seriously as postseason and playoff contenders? Or is it time to turn in early and turn our eyes to another contender or somebody that can make some actual waves? I look at the Miami Hurricanes schedule. Week 8, they've got Florida State at home, October 26th at Hard Rock Stadium, a game where you've got to be favored at that point in the season, right? Hopefully you still have a clean ACC slate. I don't care how the Hurricanes open up in the first game against the Florida Gators. I know a lot of eyes are on that. I want to see what they do in that eighth game of the season, bringing in the Noles at home, a team that has beat you 3 straight times, the biggest rivalry game on the schedule. Can Mario Cristobal get his first win over the Seminoles and also prove themselves to be a team that we should be eyeing to maybe vie for the ACC championship, or if not just that, get to the college football playoff and win a game? And it's that same number, number 8, the lucky magic number 8 for the Miami Dolphins, because week 8, if I had to say there's one team in the NFL the Dolphins need to prove themselves against right now, who would you think that is, Emily?
The Bills.
The Buffalo Bills. The Miami Dolphins in week 8 travel to Buffalo, a November 3rd game. The Bills have beaten the Dolphins now 4 straight, including a playoff game. I know Skylar Thompson was out there slinging the ball because Tua was hurt, but it still counts in the record books. Mike McDaniel is going to have to bring that team on the road in what could be inclement weather at Orchard Park and get that win. If they can't do that in week 8, I'm sure that alongside the Miami Hurricanes, who have to prove themselves against their biggest rival, this is the Dolphins' current biggest rival in their division. The Bills have lost Stephon Diggs. They've had a lot of turnover. Heck, the Dolphins stole Jordan Poyer from the Bills. This is the year where it feels like if you're going to get over that hump, you've got to be able to beat the Bills on the road with this current roster. That's the game I'm looking for on both team schedule. Number 8 on the schedule. Can you get those wins against rivals that are also teams that have proven themselves at a higher level than you? And that'll be an easy place to judge both. But you're saying you're definitely going to go with the Miami Dolphins as the team that needs to win a playoff game this year.
Yeah, I definitely think that the Dolphins, because personally, if he, this is again just personal biases, if Clemson is still in the ACC, I'm going to need us to win that ACC championship. I don't need Miami to have that as their chance, because I don't think that the committee is going to pick them to be in the playoffs.
You think they need the conference championship bid to be able to get it?
100%. And personally, I also think that we need that conference championship bid, because Dabo won't use the transfer portal. So until that happens, I'm going to need that ticket.
Using the transfer portal. A novel idea. Maybe Dabo should tap in
on
that.
What a concept, you know? And not just recruiting people from Daniel High School. But you know what? Not my job.
Not your job.
Unfortunately.
Not your job. The Tigers figuring things out on the fly there and doing it their own way. Good luck to Dabo with that. One guy that's doing it his own way and succeeded at that is going to be my candidate for, again, the MVP chance. Yeah, I mean, appreciate you. We do this here on Theoretically Speaking. My candidate for Duffy's MVP of the weekend is a guy in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Greeky freaky in what he was able to do for Greece over this weekend, helping them to their first Olympics in 12 years, doing so by dropping 23 points in a win. And also, again, we look at guys like Joel Embiid, who decided he'd just join the Monstars and hoop it up with Team USA. Giannis took the hard way, as he always did. We saw him do that in the NBA postseason with the Bucks, carry that team, his home franchise, to a championship. Now he's going to try to do the same thing and maybe get a medal for Greece. It would be epic to see, but my candidate for MVP of the weekend, Giannis Antetokounmpo, to go along with your Angel Reese. We'll give our next Duffy's MVP candidate as well after the break. Plus, Emily, what's your status? How do you feel about sports tattoos? Guys that get tattoos of sports teams, names, or figures on their body.
I know that those listening to radio can't see the face that I just made to that. However, I think that if you do that, then choices are made. Yeah. And I think that if you do what our friend that we're about to talk about just did, then that was a decision.
A little sketchy. Mm-hmm. A little bit sketchy. I'm glad I never got a Carolina
Panthers.
A permanent
sketch, unfortunately.
Yeah. Why did you do that there? Yeah. Well, we'll tell you what tattoo has me up in arms and Emily also getting the ick. A guy getting a sports tattoo inked on him based off of a free agency.
Oh, there's way more to give me the ick than that.
Decision. It's disgusting. That and more when we come back. That's Emily Smarr. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
You know, out here in South Florida, as the summer months ramp up, I always say you got to make sure you're locked in with EDS Air Conditioning and Plumbing, because it can be a problem. If your AC goes out, that could be an issue, and you're going to want the pros that have been doing it since 06 to be there on your side. But it's not just that. It's not just about preventative measures there. What about your indoor air quality? It could be suffering right now, and you might not even know it. I mean, we're a little bit past allergy season, but there could be all kinds of particles and things in your home that are affecting your quality of life, and EDS has a solution. You can get a free home air quality assessment, plus you can save $500 on an air purification bundle. EDS is an RGF black label dealer. That means EDS can help you with new Remy Halo air purifier, cleaning your indoor air, making your home more livable and comfortable. It could even kill some COVID-19. EDS is yes. Get a free home air quality assessment. Purify your air. Breathe better today. EDSairconditioning.com. Tell the fellas I said what's up. Again, you know, they hooked me up with a new air conditioning in May. My unit went out. And thankfully, Emily, I had EDS. They came on call as my thermostat was rolling up into the 80s and it was insufferable. They came through and saved the day. Oh, yeah, they saved the day. I wanted to make sure you had your mic on right there.
Sorry, we're still learning.
No. That's on me. I'm supposed to get that thing started for you there. But yes, AC going out will ruin your whole week.
Yeah, my dad, he actually does HVAC. So I grew up in a house that was more like a meat locker than just your typical home. I know the importance of good air conditioning. So
he knew
more
how to
power to you.
Yes, he knew how to keep it locked for y'all. On theoretically speaking here, we usually like to hop on our vehicle, our method of transportation to get you all around the nation to the hottest and the brightest sports headlines. Just in case you missed something, we keep you locked in here on Theoretically Speaking, and that vehicle is called the Get Around.
I get around. What you mean you don't know? Round and round,
round and round. I get around. So it's your first time on the Get Around, Emily Smarr, who's pulling up with us from the Palm Beach Post.
Before we happy to be around.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we do it. We ride. We kick it. Where can people follow you and get your stuff on Twitter and follow you for your updates from the Palm Beach Post?
Emily _ Smarr, and that is E-M-I-L-E-E, not with a Y.
Gotcha. Spell it right. Get it right. And speaking of Twitter, our first stop.
Next stop.
Sacramento, California. And I guess technically it's speaking of X. I never call it X, though, but X, the social media platform.
Formerly Twitter.
Kings fan at Bradley Scott D on X got DeMar DeRozan tattooed on him following the forward's decision to sign with the Kings, 3 years, $76 million. Now,
Bradley.
DeMar DeRozan's on the back end of his career, and he's now becoming a journeyman coming from the Chicago Bulls. He's also not a guy I would assume should elicit a sports fan to get a tattoo on for him joining the team.
That one, too, the only place where he stayed longer than three seasons is Toronto.
Yes.
So in your noggin, where do you put those two together?
I'm not.
But you inked it.
And that's the problem.
Exactly.
And what are the prospects for these Kings anyways? Like, it's not like this team even became a championship contender with DeMar DeRozan now in-house. You just got a dude's name tatted on your arm who's going to be with you for maybe a year and a half and leave to go to another contender.
And also, do you realize, like, people get tattoos every single day?
Yeah.
How bad or questionable does your tattoo have to be for it to make national trending news?
Well, DeMar DeRozan on your arm for the Kings, a Kings fan, generational ill. A generational ill, and I'm sure Kings fans used to that out there in Sacktown.
Next stop.
Now we're going to Storrs, Connecticut. Have you ever been to Connecticut?
I have.
Yeah?
Actually.
I don't know where.
Hartford.
Hartford is fun. Hartford's good. I used to kick it actually in Black Rock, Connecticut back when I was interning in my college days. This is Storrs, Connecticut for UConn. Because Dan Hurley has agreed to a 6-year, $50 million contract to stay with Connecticut through 2030. And the first thing that jumps out to me in this one, Emily, the dude won back-to-back national championships. He flirted with leaving for the Lakers. He's obviously the best coach in college basketball right now, and UConn needs him to stay relevant, to stay in contention, and chase a three-peat, which will be the first one since we've seen the UCLA squad do it under the great late John Wooden. And they couldn't even make this dude the highest paid coach in college. It's still Bill Self. How the hell does that happen?
You know, I think that Sir Hurley here is just doing it out of the want to continue his legacy at UConn. Because, I mean, like everything that you said, that is quite the resume to have. So,
what else
you gotta do? I think it's just one of those things where it's like maybe talk flirting with the Lakers. He knew, okay, they're not going to pay me as much as Self. So if I'm flirt with the Lakers, then maybe I can at least get a little bit more that makes it okay and willing for me to stay here.
That's what reestablishes to me, though, that this was obviously a leverage play, not just 100%. For Dan Hurley. Yeah, but also for the Lakers themselves. So they can say, we tried to get Dan Hurley. Mm-hmm. We were left with J.J. Redick. It's not like we just wanted to get LeBron James's podcast mate.
We wanted more.
Everybody wins here, except the fact that Dan Hurley, his agent, not able to make him the highest paid college basketball coach. I mean, that's a blemish on your record. Sorry.
Next stop.
We're going to South Beach, Florida, a place I do not frequent. I haven't gone in a couple years. I stay away from South Beach. Are you kicking on South Beach?
I did it once.
Yeah.
And I never felt the need to do it again.
That's all you need.
Yep, just one weekend.
Well, this one's specific because it's an anniversary, a special one. 14 years ago today, LeBron James made the infamous announcement that he'd be joining Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh with the Miami Heat. Let's hear it.
LeBron, what's your decision?
This fall, man, it's very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
That changed everything. I mean, and LeBron comes to the Heat, right? And you get two titles in 4 years. It was a bit of a disappointment because they professed they would get not two, not three, not five. So not, I forget what number he got all the way up to. But two titles in 4 years, to me, is still a success. And when I think back to that day as a Heat fan, even though I wasn't in South Florida yet, that was like, it was world-changing that the center of the universe now, the center of the sports world, was all on my favorite team. They had a Heat Index, you know, tab on ESPN.com. I used to surf it every single day to get updates on the squad. Like, that was a very fun time. But now that I'm removed from it, back then I used to say, man, I can't believe they lost to the Mavericks in 2011. Like, that was one of the last times I cried as a sports fan. Literal tears pouring out of my eyes. My mom makes fun of me to this day because of that moment. But now looking back on it, two championships in 4 years is hard to do. I think it's a success. What do you look at that as, Emily?
I mean, I definitely, for one, think it's a success. But for two, just think about how iconic that one quote was. And none of us knew it at that time. Yeah. I mean, even whenever I first moved down here, my whole quote, like for my Instagram post that I was moving down here, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. I had no idea that this was not South Beach. Right. I found out later.
A little false.
But that's how iconic that quote was. So 110%, I think that it's just one of those things where it was the beginning of the future for Miami in setting the foundation for what they have going on there now.
Haven't had a summer like it since. Wake up, Pat Riley.
Next stop.
Well, speaking of, we're going to Miami, Florida now, a little bit further from South Beach. That's another thing that people get messed up. It's like he said he's taking his talents to South Beach, but now yeah, Kaseya Center's kind of far from that as well. The Miami Heat round out their 14-man roster today. They sign Haywood Highsmith to a 2-year, $11 million deal. And after another summer of flirting, another summer of looking across the bar at that attractive hot thing and saying, I want you. I want you on my squad. The Heat end up running it back with the same crew, minus Caleb Martin. And now, as a Heat fan, as you can tell in my face now, Emily, I'm very dejected. But at least I know where we stand here. At least I know the Heat are going to be...
You got the mid thing across the bar?
It's the worst thing to do in sports. It's the worst thing to be in sports. It's like the purgatory. You're in the mid level. You're right there where you're not contending, but you're not necessarily going to bottom out.
Okay, but imagine getting paid $11 million to be mid.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
And I like Haywood Highsmith.
It could be worse.
I like him.
And also, like, what a name. Haywood Highsmith.
Great name.
Great name.
Great sports name.
Great sports name. Top, very vintage.
Yes, top three on the Heat. I mean, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Triple J, I got to give it to him as the number one name on the Heat. But after that, Haywood Highsmith is smooth. But that was a get around right there. The get around brought to you today by Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Is joint pain affecting your quality of life? At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, our team is experienced in traditional joint replacement surgery as well as new, less invasive treatments with the goal of returning you to what you love as quickly as possible. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. Your first trip on the get around, a successful one. We landed the trip well. And also, again, for Heat fans out there suffering alongside me, it's cool. It's cool. We've had our championship runs. We just talked about how this is the anniversary of the Big Three forming. We've had our glory days. We can suffer through one mid-season. It's cool. Not tripping.
I heard a few mid-seasons.
Don't say that. Please don't say that. Please don't say that. My final Duffy's MVP candidate of the weekend, plus the winner of the Duffy's MVP. When we come back, that's Emily Smarr from the Palm Beach Post pulling up to talk some sports. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
No, I'm getting them irons right. I'm getting nicer with them irons. I tried it out the other day on a little par 3 course, And you know where I tune up my golf game? The Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center, kaisergolfcenter.com. That's where you go. They've got an indoor facility, 2,000 square feet, three different hitting bays, ball flight technology, and you get some personal training with your coach. My coach, Pete, he helps me out with my game. I got a lot of work to do with that driver. But, of course, the driving range and the putt. Yeah, like, I mean, the driver's always going to be a little erratic. I'm not a pro.
It comes down to the chipping and putting.
It does. That's where you make your money.
Short game.
And they got a great driving range as well as a chipping and putting area and a putting green at the Kaiser University Golf Coaching Center. Right out there at the flagship campus of Kaiser University off I-95 in the Turnpike, kaisergolfcenter.com. All right. Time for our Duffy's MVP of the weekend. We already gave out our first two representatives. Caitlin Clark is going to be the third candidate. So we got Angel Reese with her 13th straight double-double in the WNBA. We have Giannis Antetokounmpo leading Greece to the Paris Olympics, the first time in 16 years Greece going to make the Olympic Games. And we have Caitlin Clark, who got a triple-double and a win over the WNBA's best team, the New York Liberty. And that's the first triple-double for any rookie in WNBA history. Emily, I know you nominated Angel Reese.
When you put it like that, what am I supposed to say?
I got to give the Duffy's MVP. My vote, not just my candidate, but my vote for Duffy's MVP of the weekend with the first double triple-double as a rookie, as well as the win, rising the fever up in the standings.
That's where you get me.
She's the leader right now in the Rookie of the Year voting. Love me some Angel Reese, but Caitlin Clark is my MVP of the weekend.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
I appreciate it.
I am not going to argue with you. I will simply shout out Angel Reese for her accomplishment.
She did her thing. And you know what? If she got the win, there would have been more of an argument to be made. Time to take you home on Theoretically Speaking.
I know who I want to take me home. Take me home.
It feels like last call in a bar.
Hey, that's exactly what it is.
I was like, ooh, nightmare.
You get it. And I'll take you home with this. Over July 4th weekend, I actually got an opportunity to retry my hand at my Traeger grill with some barbecue chicken, and it came out perfect. So keep trying new things, people. Maybe you'll get better at it. That's Emily Smart from the Palm Beach Post pulling up on us on a Monday. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.